Toicheles tzadikim simcha v'tikvas l'shoyim toiveid. Toicheles, of course, as it says in the pasuk, Yachel Yisrael el Hashem, Am Yachalim l'chazdoi. Toicheles comes from the idea of being mitzape, of yearning for something, hoping that it will take place, but it hasn't happened yet. That which the tzaddik dreams about and yearns for is simcha, v'tikvas rishoyim, but that which the Rasha aspires to is toiveid, it's going to lead him to his downfall. So the Parshat Pshat of the Pasuk seems pretty straightforward. The Rasha looks towards things that are actually going to destroy him in Olam Hazeh sometimes, and certainly in Olam Haba, and the worst kind of destruction really is to live a life of a profligate, to live a life that is absolutely useless, that does not accomplish the toiv in the world. So then that's toivet already, because you have your neshama and you have your possibilities and your potential when you're born, and all of you in your entire life, you have nothing to recommend you. That's terrible. That's the worst thing possible. I always tell you that the biggest gehenim is when the Ribbono Shel Olam shows a person what he might have been. The notion of tovei doesn't necessarily mean physical destruction, or doesn't necessarily mean that his plans will be undermined and to no avail. Tovei means pashut, the hope itself is leads to the ruination of the person. He has become a matzav of toved. That's the worst kind of toved. But the Gra says, Toicheles tzadikim simcha. So Toicheles and tikva, what's the difference between the two? In the classic way that the Goyin relates to these synonyms, it's never kefil ha'inyon b'milim shoynes. Never. It's always, there's a subtle nuance, there's always something that differentiates between the two. So what is it that differentiates between Toicheles and Tikva? So the idea of Toicheles is Mitzapeh sheyovo achar zman. K'mo shekosuv Toicheles memushocha. But Tikva hu ma she'odam mitzapeh, what a person dreams and yearns for, sheyovo lo tekef. That should come immediately. Take it for miyad. So tikva is for the immediate present, or the at the latest tomorrow, and tacheles is la'achazman. Just like mocher has two meanings, yesh mocher la'achazman. So you have also here two words, one for now and one for the late future, the projected future. Tikva umash odam mitzapa shiovaloi takef, ubizman korov hu mitzapa. Vahainu, shat tzadikim eino mitzapim litol schorim ba'olam hazeh. You know, there's a Yiddish expression that fits perfectly what the Goyin is trying to say. Der mensch hat a weiten blick, a weiten kuk. It means he has a projected perspective which allows him to see beyond his nose, which is a nishkin poshte zach, by the way. Most people react to the immediate threat. Most people respond to the immediate request. Most people are busy with the here and the now. To have an idea that there's a future and that I'm planning and projecting towards that future, and especially if that future is Olam Haba, this is not an easy task. It's not easy for two reasons. First of all, we, and Bizman Hazeh, Rachmana Litzlan, this is so true. Instant gratification. We are all babies. The whole tachlis of the person in the 21st century is to return to his infancy. This is, it's a sarcastic remark, but it's true. The whole of entertainment, the whole world, we have tremendous leisure time, and we are busy being babies. And I think it undermined our complete fiber, you know, the backbone that a person's supposed to have. Wait a minute. Have patience. So you have children, today's children are such a peculiar paradox. There's a false maturity, even biologically they're advanced. The girls today, they have their maturity much earlier than ever before. Mechad gisa. Meidach gisa. we're infantile way into our teenage years and beyond. A person could be 25 years old and a baby. So they mature on the one hand, they know everything, there's no secrets, there's nothing that is unknown to them. Even things they should never know and they should never be aware of. They already know when they're 7, 8, 9 years old. Rachmana litzlan. And me'idach gisa, the mature individual, is a baby. And how we manage to achieve such an incredible paradox, I don't even know myself. But the whole of Yiddishkeit is the exact opposite. Tznius teaches us that we're supposed to be in that area, not knowing, not aware, not conscious. They laugh at us today that Chosam Kala may not know exactly what to do next. This is not a Litzonus. This is the Kedusha and Tara of a Masaira of thousands of years, of Tznius, of that started with Bischeim Einem Chuvanus, that started with Avram Avinu's Ati Yadati Gishi Fas Mare At. And that, at the same time, we are mature at the very outset. We are already Mechuyev B'mitzvahs, a girl at 12 and a Bachar at 13. With the whole Achrayis, you know, I always say a pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayigdulu Hana'arim. Zok the Medrash and Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer. What is Vayigdulu Hana'arim? Ama Lezer, Ad Yud Gimu Shana, Tzorech Ha'adam Letapel Bebanav. Yud Gimu Shana Ve'elech, Tzorech She'yoymar Baruch She'petarani Me'on She'shelzeh. This is the makor for the bracha of Baruch Shem Torani that every father of a bar mitzvah bracha makes. And I was always wondering, what is the tzorech sheyoymar Baruch Shem Torani? I would say, yocholoymar Baruch Shem Torani. It means he's mechuyev to bother with them until Yud Gimel Shana. But after Yud Gimel Shana, he has a free pass. It's now the child's achrayis. What's tzorech sheyoymar? Now the teretz is very poshut. The teretz is, and I say this very often at a bar mitzvah, if you have the right perspective in Yiddishkeit, you realize, and it goes from the Mishnah and Kiddushin on down, that there's no such thing as giving up your achrayis because you said Baruch Shem Petarani. A father's achrayis to his children basically lasts forever, if you want to know. But if you want to talk about the specific chiyuvim, to marry off a child, to teach him an umnus, you don't teach an umnus to a 13-year-old, and you don't marry off a 13-year-old. If you understand properly the sense of achrayis that we have, we realize that the achrayis continues and continues and continues into the 20s and maybe beyond. In fact, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we're not talking about chinuch, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Shulchan Aruch HaRav in his kuntras achrin on Talmud Torah says beferish that a father's chiyuv midioraisa to teach his son is to teach him kol haTorah kula. You may not have been aware of it, and I'm sorry I mentioned it. But, you know, nobody wants to know what his chiyuvim really are, because it's a little bit frightening. Although, you know, we try, I guess we accomplish that by sending them to Brisk and to Lakewood. But that's our responsibility, to teach them Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says. You know, he was the master of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The most significant expression of Hilchos Talmud Torah beyond the Rambam is the Kuntres Achron of the Baal HaTanya. So, how much time does a person need to teach his son Kol HaTorah Kula at least one time around the basics? So you understand that by Bar Mitzvah that's not going to happen. He says it goes into the 20s. Maybe by the age of Chais of 24, he can manage that. So you see that the achrayas of a parent goes far beyond bar mitzvah. Me'idach kisa. He has to say Baruch Shem Petarani. That's the tzarech. What does that mean? The child has to know that from Yud Gimel Shana ve'elech, since he is mechuyav b'mitzvahs, use the expression, the buck stops with the child, not with the parent anymore. As long as it was a chinuch, you could have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos whose mitzvah it is, and as a vital. The maisa, it's the parent's responsibility. And the child is the base kibul, the beneficiary of that responsibility, which is the father's. even if it's his mitzvah, but it's not his mitzvah in the sense of being mechuyev a mitzvah, that Yud Gimel Shana V'Yaymecha, besides that it's only midrabbanan. It's a different concept. It's a mitzvah that needs help and protection, and the pushing and the prodding, it's enveloped by the father and the mother's concern for the child's hatzlacha. In Ruchnius, in Avodas Hashem, just as their concern for his hatzlacha and Gashmius needs to stop at a certain point and say, now we will watch over you, we will hover over you, but from a distance. You now take responsibility for yourself. And that's the tzorech sheyomer. And oiva avoid to parents who so mollycoddle their children that they're always busy telling their children what to do until they're 18, 19, and 20. It warps the child. It does not allow him to grow. Because responsibility, achrayus, is the biggest factor in the growth of the personality. And this is something that Bizman Hazeh, I don't know, we've just lost so much of that hasoga. Children remain children. 20, 25, 30 even. It's not just samuch al shulchan aviyim. That's nothing compared to the nature of what's happening inside of me. The nature of the person is infantile. We're busy with toys, with our, you know, this whole thing with the cell phone and the internet. Most of the problem, it's not the prurience of it. That's a tzara, that's a taiva. The biggest problem is that it takes us away from our fundamental responsibilities. You know, a person is busy with this thing. Its busyness has nothing to do with his major responsibilities and functions. It's an adult playing with toys, but it's not really an adult. And the achrayus that a person has to real life, to getting down to business of life, of the achrayus to keep the mitzvahs, the achrayus to keep the consistency of his seder, to keep an eye on the perspective of what's expected of him and what he needs to contribute to the community, to Klal Yisrael. This is all something that, if it develops haphazardly, almost by coincidence. Maybe shir p'siyata d'shmaya, some people turn out okay. But this is the whole yisoid of the tzaddik. The tzaddik has a vision of what it is that is expected of him, not just today, not just this hour, but tomorrow and the next month and the next year. He's projecting to Olam Haba. In this world, he's projecting to Olam Haba. As I always say, the behavior in a proizdar is different than the behavior in a traklin. The haskin atzmacha isn't just that there's going to be a traklin. It's that the hanhaga in the proizdar has to reflect that. The anhaga of the proizdar is to lead to the traklin. That's the anhaga itself supposed to lead to the traklin. So this is what the Goyin says. Hatikvu mash'odem mitzapish yovoloi tekef. And that's the Rosh's business. V'haynu shatzadikim einam mitzapim litol schorem bo'olam hazeh, rat miyachlim leloikeyem sheyitin lahem socha toy bo'olam haba. V'zeh shetoycheles tzadikim lesimcha, Yishrei Leiv Simcha. It's an Or Zorua. Zorua in this particular context means it's a seed that is planted and the harvest is later. V'tikvas reshoyim toived mehem she'ein mekavim likach tekef ab ze toived ki derech reshoyim toived. You know, even what they expect to get at the spur of the moment, they're not going to get. No Russia would agree with me, because that's his nature and that's his hasoga, but the truth of the matter is they're always eating poison. What they're doing is eating poison. And from poison you die. There's nothing that a Russia can do that in his rishus that does not say toived, that doesn't have the word toived stamped all over it. Like we have, we send a shipment with glass, we stamp fragile all over the place. The shipment of the Russia is toived. You shall perish. And perish means right now. Right now you'll perish. Because when a person is wasting his life away and doing harm and damage wherever he can, there's nothing but perish. There's no word to describe what's happening to him. Even though he thinks he's Beruma Shalala. And most people think that sooner or later he'll get his upcomings, you know, sooner or later he'll get what he deserves, if not in this world, in the next world. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at this girl, you'll understand that really, be'etzem, it's Tovid right now. He thinks only of now, and the Tovid is now. And the Ikka Tovid is what he could have become. Some of these Rishayim have such unbelievable Koiches HaNefesh, which they dafka use in the exact opposite way. But if they would have been able to convert that, I don't know if you could call Rish Lakish a Rasha. He was a gladiator. He was a circus performer. I don't know what he was exactly. But imagine that person not encountering Rabbi Yochanan. Was for a pusta, irrelevant life that would have been. And now he's one of the Baalei HaMasorah forever and ever. There's no greater transformation than that. And that's Tovid. Tikvas Rishayim Tovid. So the Gra dwells on this theme in a number of other places in the Sefer, in his Biur to Mishlei. And I brought two of them. One of them, in the next Pasuk, Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Zayin, if you'll read along with me, if you follow the Pasuk. But most Adam Rasha Tovad Tikva V'teicheles Oinim Avada. The truth is, one should have thought that the most Adam Rasha should breed Tikva, should bring Tikva to the world. He's dead, and it's good riddance to him. So what's meant us? You'll notice here also that Tikva and Teicheles are brought together in the same Pasuk. So he says a very interesting thing. He has expectations and they're never fulfilled. But now we have a different perspective on what he's saying. But Mois Adam Rasha Tova Tikva means that you'll discover that the Tikva is gone because what he wanted, what he dreamed, what he yearned for is empty and the pursuit was for naught. But it's only when he dies that this is made clear. A Rasha Mekavish Yeh Tov Lo La'atzmai right now. U'kishayomus Yoivar HaTikva. So what's meant us? Let's read a little bit further. V'teicheles oinim avada, mashahoya miyachal shiyeh toiv gam lebonov. Because this whole pasuk, unlike the pasuk that we are in, is speaking only about the Rasha. So apparently the Rasha has a tikva level of expecting things right now, and a teicheles level of expecting things for the future. And now we understand b'mois. The pasuk, according to the Gra, is leading to that defining moment when you ask, what did he leave behind? So he says, his own expectations, turns out, lemafreya, were worthless and useless, and they die with him, as it were. You know, I always said that the word kavod, when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, ein kavod ela Torah, they bring a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kavod chachamim yinchalu, usmimim yinchalu." So, "Kavod chachamim yinchalu." So, the question is, what does that pasuk mean? That there will be a nachla that chachamim yarshin will give over to their children, and that is kavod. So, the question is, what are we talking about? I would say honor. Yemachabit talmid chachamim bechayeyem, and yemachabit them b'maysam too. Lo yoyisi tzadik nezav v'zarum avakish lochem. But the Pashut Pshat is really something else, interestingly enough. Because it says, Ein Kavod Ela Torah, it doesn't mean Ein Kavod Ela Libnei Torah. That would mean that Talmid HaChachamim get genuine Kavod. But he's saying something else. He's saying that the Torah itself is called Kavod. So how did they know that from this Pasuk? So the answer, because the Pasuk says, Kavod Chachamim Yincholo. So the answer is, it can't mean regular kavod, honor, respect. Because no matter what, it does not last to the next generation. Not really. Kavod is something that is very fragile and very ephemeral. Something that does not last. Most kavod isn't even real. But even the kavod that's real doesn't last. Except if you redefine kavod as Torah, because then you have a nachla. Nachla because if seisav daiva veis bekeva, nachla because his chidushim inspire an entire generation to follow, and that generation breeds another generation, v'chulu v'chulu. The Torah is a marasha ke'ilas Yaakov. And every single person that has that understanding of ein kavod ela Torah realizes right away without any embellishments or explanations what the Mishnah is talking about. There's nothing that lasts as much as Torah, and there's nothing as fleeting that does not last as much as kavod. So if you're using the word nachla, you must be referring to Torah. Torah itself, not the kavod that comes from Torah. Ein kavod ela Torah. Now here you have a person that he has his agenda and he's a rasha. And he wants that his agenda should be something for him, and it should be able to last so that he can give it over to his children. Imagine the mafia boss must be very, very family-oriented people. You know, the enem they can put into a cement and wrap him up in a carpet and dump him in the East River. Aber meine eigene Kinder, das doch mamisch kaitisch kadoshim. This is the mafia. They have this peculiar sense of family and allegiance. And, you know, well, in Sicily, as a trachtman, you know, that's their masaira, you know. So the masaira of the Sicilian is to have a mishpacha that's yoyresh, your power, you know, your koyach haritzicha, you know, they're yoyresh that too. And your authority, and, you know, you can't go against the big mafia boss, because otherwise you're going to end up in a very bad matzav. So everybody has to cater to you, and they want that koyach should go over to their children. Zok de gra. First of all, the Pasuk says that the immediate expectations end with the demise because there's no Olam Haba, there's no Yerusha for himself in the Eichel Periseim B'Olam Hazeh V'Keren Kayemes L'Olam Haba. So that's at the moment of his departure from the world, you realize that all of that was lost. But what about giving it over to his children? So that's what it says, that L'Tvach Aroch, the Teicheles, which is Zman Rochaik, which means he wants to give it over to his children, that is also not possible. Pagam Habonim, Mitzapim, he says, Sheyovoy HaToiv Lahem, Vezeu Teicheles Oinim, Masha Oinim Sheim Bonov Miyachalim, Oinim from the Vukoichi Voracious Oini, my strength, that which I produced, my children. So the Teicheles Oinim is another word for children, the Teicheles Habonim Avada, that they should yarshin the toiv that they think their father gathered during his lifetime. Shem Habonim Yachalim. Oh, ma shehu miyachel sheyihi ala Oinim. The children want it, and he wants it for the children. Shehem Bonov, Avada b'maisai. And then he has an inyan of sight which we're not going to go into. So the difference between Teicheles and Tikva is the same, but here both words are being applied to the Rasha, and the Teicheles word for the future refers to the Banim who will not be able to take anything over of substance and of real value from the parents, because they are Rishayim. The next pasuk that the Goyin describes this idea of Teicheles and Tikva does not have the word Tikva in it, but uses the expression that the Goyin has already mentioned, Teicheles Mimushacha, a Teicheles which is in a future time. It has to stretch, from the word Moshech, it has to stretch, it has to be pulled forward into time. Teicheles Mimushacha Machal Alev, the Eitz Chayim Ta'avaba, very famous pasuk. Techeles Memushocha Machla Leva Inyon Shamu Razal Shakoyi Al Iyon Tfila. Look at page 2, and you will see the Gemara, the famous Gemara, in Maseches Brachas. Don't worry, if you're learning Daf Yomi, you'll get to it in no time. Daf Lamed Veiz in Brachas. Amar Rav Chanina Amar Rav Chanina. Kol ha-marich b'tfilosai ain't filosai chayzeres reikam. That if a person davens and he has the patience and is inspired to have the proper kavana, which has to slow him down, there's no question about it, it must slow him down, then that teicheles is going to be teicheles memushocha. This teicheles is going to be machlas leiv. On the contrary, he says, ain't filosa chazeres reikam. And how does he know? From Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. How long did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? 40 days and 40 nights. That's a pretty long tefillah. So it's marich b'tefilaso, not necessarily as long as Moshe Rabbeinu, but it gives you an understanding of what we're talking about. Ein tefilaso chazeres reikam. There's a stira. V'ha'eini, how could that be? V'ha'amar Reb Chiya Barab, v'ha'amar Reb Yochanan. Kol ha'marich b'tefilaso ma'ayim ba, Saif Bali Dei Ke'ev Lev. And here, by the way, is a very interesting Nakuda. Saif Bali Dei Ke'ev Lev. Shenema Teicheles Memushocha Machla Lev. Teicheles Memushocha, the pasuk that we had just a moment ago. This is Teicheles Memushocha. You are yearning, and that is a Machla Lev. It's going to lead to Ke'ev Lev, to the sickness, to a heartache. To the sickness of the heart. My takante, and what is the eitzah? Yasik b'teira, shenema ve'eitz chayim taiva ba'a. Ve'in eitz chayim ala teira. That's the second half of that pasuk. Shenema ve'eitz chayim ila machazikim ba. So the Gemara has a stira. In one place it says that if you're marich b'tfilah, you're going to be very matzliach in your tfilah. It's a guarantee that ain't filosa chazeres reikam. By the way, ain't filosa chazeres reikam does not necessarily mean that your expectations and what you're davening for will be fulfilled as you understand it to be fulfilled. It means that the tefillah is miskabelis and the tefillah has a pa'ula, it has a tayelis. What that tayelis is not known to the person who davens, nor to anyone else on this earth. But it's a guarantee that the tefillah had an impact, letoiv. And that is an unbelievable thing, that we can change things because of our tefillahs. And that is a stira to Rabbi Yochanan's statement of kol ha'marich b'tefilaso. But the thing is that he adds the words, u'ma'ayin ba. Now, what is ma'ayin ba? What is the word ma'ayin? How are you ma'ayin in your tefillah? We're not talking about, you know, one of the pirushim on the siddur is called iyun tefillah. What does it mean, ma'ayin b'tefillah? So he's trying to figure out the pshat in the words. He's trying to connect the words to their gematria. He's trying to have special kavanos. What does it mean, ma'ayin ba? So obviously, from the context itself, you already see. He says, the Gemara says, lo kashya, ha demarich u ma'ayin ba, ha demarich v'loy ma'ayin ba. Yet, in the answer to the question of the stira, the Gemara itself points you to the extra phrase that Rabbi Yochanan added to the words marich b'tfiloso, u'ma'ayimba. So what is ma'ayimba? Ma'ayimba is that he has this understanding of what he accomplished. It's a person analyzing his tefillah and saying, this was a really good tefillah. I said what I needed to say with the proper kavanah. I had no distractions, and therefore there is no doubt that this tefillah is going to be Eino Chazeres Reikam. So the difference is, are you the evaluator, or you leave it up to the Ribbono Shelam to evaluate? If a person's kavanah is such that he doesn't make cheshbonos about the success of his tefillah, then Marich b'tefilosos Ein Tefiloso Chazeres Reikam. But ironically, the moment that he starts making cheshbon is now the person will get well. Now the person will have panasa. So besides the fact that obviously a person is accruing to himself unbelievable kaiches, and by the way, it'd be amazed how much a person wants to be important. Important, and people want to be important in many different ways. There's no one that's worth his salt that doesn't have a tzip in his heart that he wouldn't mind being a guru. And everybody would bow down to him and say, whatever you say, Rebbe, whatever you say, whatever you want. and a person comes to that guru type and he says, you know, I have a problem. I want to know, should I paint the house on Monday or should I paint the house on Wednesday? So Tuesday's b'chi toiv, that's easy. But he wants to know Monday or Wednesday. So the Rav rolls his eyes, looks up to heaven, closes his eyes in profound thought, and comes back and tells the person, Wednesday! You sure? Did I not tell you Wednesday? Why are you questioning me? And this, this is it, you know. So if you want to make a name for yourself, I'm giving you a recipe how to do it. You got to roll your eyes first and then close your eyes in deep concentration. Not the other way around, by the way. The other way around doesn't always work. So, but you know why? Because, you know, when you roll your eyes, you already show that you're a mamash in outer space. When you start thinking in deep concentration, maybe you're just thinking. Then you're like everybody else. So then rolling your eyes afterwards may not help. So you got to do it exactly that way. But if you do it that way, Rabbi Isai, you're guaranteed. You have a following, and people run around after you and encircle you, and they mamash, they chauffeur you, and they do whatever it is that you need, including jumping off the George Washington Bridge. So Lamaisa, if it is exactly that kind of a guru, so you understand a little bit what it means, Iyun Tefillah. No, seriously, this is the point. No one has the right, including the greatest of the great. Now, you know, it's very interesting. Reb Chanina ben Doisa had a siman if his tefillah was matzliach or not. And you know, kol ha'olam nizayim b'shvil Chanina b'ni. And that's already an interesting question. How does that reflect upon what we just said? Now, believe it or not, the Mefarshim discuss Reb Chanina ben Doisa's comment that if I see it, I see that I'm matzliach. But you see, even Reb Chanina ben Doisa is not called Iyun Tefillah, but let's not go into Reb Chanina ben Doisa. This is a parsha b'fnei atzma, which is extraordinary, to say the least. But if the whole world depends on Chanina ben Doisa, maybe his tefillah is tak entirely different. This is something that needs to be analyzed if we're learning. I always wanted to put out a shtickle chibur on Reb Chanina ben Doisa, so I looked through the Ma'amari Chazal and the Mefarshim, Rishonim and Achronim. There's a lot to be said about Reb Chanina ben Doisa. So without being ma'ayin in him, we won't understand the difference between Iyun Tefillah and what he did. But be that as it may, the small fry, you know, people like me, there's no such thing as a tefillah that I can feel comfortable I got it just right, or I can feel comfortable that somebody is going to be geholfen. Lehefech, and I think that that's part of the inyan of Iyun Tefillah. See, the Gemara here says that if you're ma'ayin in the tefillah, then you're going to have machlas leiv, you're going to have heartache, because the expectation of hatzlocha becomes very great. And the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to listen to the way we imagine things and figure things out. And I always say the best bus driver in the world is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he has the perfect GPS. That GPS never makes a mistake and never sends you on a wild goose chase and never brings you around. I remember that I once had to go somewhere in Tinek. One of my Talmidim had a baby or something. I don't know what it was exactly, but I wanted to drop off a matana, and I was on my way somewhere, and it was Baruch Hashem, we had to go past through New Jersey. So I decided, do I know how to get to some place in Tinek? No. So I put on the GPS. Anyhow, I turned on the GPS, what I discovered later, a half a block away from where I was supposed to be. And had I asked somebody, you know, rolled down the window and asked him, you know, Chaim Yankel, could you please tell me where this and this address is? He says, you're right there. Nope, that the GPS sends me across a certain bridge. Now, that bridge had construction, so I couldn't go across that bridge. So I had to go a little bit further. He sent me around back to the bridge four times before I realized, as a veltz idiot, and it's mamish and avera to pay any attention to him. And Baruch Hashem, I shut it. And then I got another GPS a couple of years later. That was altogether fascinating. That GPS told me where I was. Where I was 10 minutes ago. The GPS had some sort of a very interesting lag. Maybe the satellite was fashlofen that day. I don't know. But the fact is that he's telling me cross this point when I'm already past it 5 minutes. And that's a gvaldika GPS. That's a GPS. Not only does it not tell you what to do next, but it makes you nervous, mamish mekentsa platzvel. So anyhow, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's GPS is absolutely perfect. It never, ever fails. Even tefillah is trying to put your own GPS in place of the Eibishter's. I'm very serious. That's exactly what it is. And it never works because we cannot master the master plan. That's as simple as that. And therefore, ahasogas, you know, I've been telling people, and I mentioned it, I think, already in the Agudat Pirkei at least once. But there's something that's rolling around in my head and does not give me rest. Does not give me rest. Mamish. I have this feeling about this incredible moment. 17 years into a marriage, a child is born. 17 years into a marriage. I just heard recently, Baruch Hashem, someone had a child. She became a geschwangert mit a kind, and she had Baruch Hashem a yingala after 5 years of worrying and waiting. 17 years, and you're only zoiche to one child. What happens the sixth, the tenth month before conception, before that woman discovers that she's giving birth? 16 years of being barren. I don't know about Tainus to the Rebbeinu Shlom. These people at Tzaddikim. This woman is the daughter of the greatest Mekubal of his time, the Baal Leshem Shvoi V'Achloma, Rav Eliashiv Zichrono Livracha. I can't imagine that she had any Tainus whatsoever. I don't even know if she had any confusion. She was Mekabel Ba'ava. And she davens to HaKadosh Baruch. And she's davening together with her husband, who's a Rav, very chashuv yid, Baal Mechaber Sfarim, and they are married and married and married and married, and year after year goes by. This is Chana and Elkanah all over again. And I imagine that their tefillahs were by Keirikim, and nothing happened. Imagine someone would walk over to them at year 16, and nothing's happening, and say to them the following: "You have nothing to worry about. Because you should know that in several generations you will have over 1,000 descendants." Naomi says to Rus and to Orpah, "Halohein teyogeno ad asher yigdolu." 16 years have gone by. I'm already an old woman. What are my chances even of having a child? Never mind 1,000 descendants. And what if a person would walk over to them at 16 years and say, "You know, you're going to have a child. It's going to be a boy. Mazel tov. And this boy is going to inspire the whole world with his godless. And paskin the most difficult shaylos. And will in fact be identified by everyone from all the circles as the godel ador." I wonder if they could hear something like that. You know, Manoach and his wife were visited by a malach. He told them about a Shimshon. Shimshon was extraordinary, Moshiach Shal Yisrael. But Rav Eliashiv, you're going to have a Rav Eliashiv, and you're going to be saved from the Churban that's going to envelop all of Europe. And he's going to learn 24 hours a day, Kemat, for his entire life. And you're going to have from him 1,000 descendants. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Burim. G'dayli Yisrael married to G'dayli Yisrael. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So who has the GPS? Who can fathom the inyan of Iyun Tefillah? And that's why when you look at the Churban, you don't know b'chlal what's going on. No one has any right to say anything as far as I am concerned. Nach b'sadrachenu v'nachkor v'nashuv el Hashem means any disaster, any tragedy, personal or collective, and especially collective, demands of us to do tshuva, demands of us to fix ourselves, and for that we need to ask what is wrong with us. No one has any right, as far as I am concerned, to connect the dots. You cannot connect the dots. You can't say this happened because our inability to see into Hashem's mind is absolute. No one can see into Hashem's mind who is human, or a malach, or a sarif, or an oifan. And therefore, the humility of a person stems from his basic, fundamental, abject reality. We are helpless to divine HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intentions. We are helpless to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And therefore, Iyun Tefillah is an absurd gaiva. It's an unbelievable conceit. Because it says, Ich hab richtig gedavent, and therefore this will happen for sure. And that's why, not only when it doesn't happen, I think machlas leiv, there's two kinds of machlas leiv. One is a heartache. True, if I think so with such absolute confidence that I'm going to be matzliach because of my tefillah, then anything that happens less than what I imagined or expected is going to give me heartache. But it's much more than that. The heartache is from being a tippish. That's real heartache. It's like I said before about the Rosh and his plans. The real problem is that a person's ma'ayin tefillah and expects it to happen because he felt good about his tefillah and he examined it and he said, Ich hab gut gedavent, richtig gedavent, is a fool. Because the notion that his tefillah creates reality is a terrible notion and denies the omnipotence, omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it is machlas leiv in that sense as well. Bali Day Ke'ev leiv just emphasizes the heartache, but machlas leiv is not the same as ke'ev leiv. It's a larger umbrella. It includes the absurdity and the tipshus of such a person. He would make a very good guru, because most gurus in the deep, deep essence of who they are the biggest tipshim in the world. You know why? Because if they were real, they would be honest. Everyone who's real has tremendous humility. And everyone who's real says, why are you coming to me? What do you want from me? Why do you have any of these expectations? You find a person that talks like that. Efsha came in episode of Satanita. That is the gra b'negeya, this Gemara and this Pasuk. Azeh Amru Maitakante, page 2. The Goyin continues, Maitakante Yasik Betoira, Shulchai Oilam Abba, Ubavada Yavoloi Tavosa at Sinai, Vzova Eitz Chayim Shia Toira Taiva Ba. This is an amazing promise. So whatever you wanted to imagine was going to come through tefillah, but if you learn, learning is such an unbelievable, I would almost use the word pragmatic. Learning has tremendous milus in the learning itself, and the fulfillment of the person, and the sense of his own value, everything that has to do with chashivus. But learning has very esoteric properties, very esoteric, therapeutic and prophylactic properties. It heals and it protects you. Torah megina umatzila. And that is something that is guaranteed. What megina, what matzila? Again, we don't have the GPS. But Torah has a tremendous kayach, and ultimately its resolution is Olam Habadik. It's connected to Olam Haba. We've learned three places where the Gaon mentions the inyan of the difference between Teicheles, which is L'tvach Oreich, and Tikva, which is very interesting. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Rachel Mevaka Abaneha? Mini kailach mi bechi ve'inayach mitim, ki yesh tikva la'acharisech. There's hope for your future. It would almost seem that that's a stira to everything that the Gaon is saying. What's tikva lacharisech? Tikva. Tikva is here and now. So the Rochum Vakal Banoa, you know what that's all about? She stops time. Time ceases to exist. Golus is in time. What I mean to say is, if you understand the inyan of Golus as part of a hemshech, and that the Geula is Ba'a, It's Shnas Geulai Ba'a. It's a Geula in the making. And that's Mini Kailach Mibechi. And I think that that's what happened with Rabbi Akiva, by the way, in that very famous episode at the end of Maseches makas. It's kedai to digress for a moment on this because it's just a very, very kedai thing. When you have a time frame, you know, that's right after Tisha B'Av, Nitchalanat, but it's right after Tisha B'Av, it's after the 3 weeks, after the 9 days, after Tisha B'Av, it's not kedai to stop and just as if it never happened. Let's dwell upon this for just a brief moment. You know, we have time. The Ribono Shel Olam is lamala min hazman. The Pasuk says in many different ways what the Novi said, Benigash chayrish bakoitzer. Rama bayoyim ahu oidecho Hashem ki anaftabi yoshuv apecho usanachameini. And then it says right afterwards the famous words, Hinei kel yeshuasi eftach v'leyefchot ki oziv zimosko Hashem v'hili lishua. You know, the bitachon that you have in the Ribono Shel Olam's geula is because it's happening. It's in the middle of happening. Golus is not a break. Golus is the beginning of geula. Golus is the charisha that leads to the katsira. We don't know how, we don't know what. Again, you have to trust the GPS of the Ribono Shel Olam. And goodness knows, from the Einei Bas of Adam, we have suffered so unbelievably during these years. From every which angle, you listen to those kinois and it's about krank mamish and hearts. I always say I can't read a Holocaust book past the fifth page, and kinois never have to say till chatzais. And it's one dirge after another, it's one tragedy after another, one pogrom after another, one rape after another, one, you know, the bishlu yaldeim. But what the goyim did, nipeitz al asela, it's doch unbelievable. And no boss of Adam can fathom that we are in the midst of Geula, but that's the way it is. And that's the pshat, Rachel mevaka al banel ki einenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't cry, because when we think about it for a moment, just a moment, even on Tisha B'Av, we cry. We are in Golus, we cry. When we'll be out of Golus, we'll be happy, we'll rejoice. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has timed us, we would cry after the Geula. I'd understand the time. But in the Golus, we are crying because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we don't have our Klal Yisrael together and we don't have the Eretz Yisrael that we need and want and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And why should we not cry? What's wrong with crying? What do you mean, Rachel, stop crying? You know, there's a famous thing with Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz that he went to Kever Rachel and he said to her, vain, Rachel, vain. Vain, Mame, vain. Cry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't cry. And Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz tells her to cry. Because the pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us something. He's saying to her, it's the beginning of the Geula. It's always the beginning and the middle of the Geula. Mini kailech mi bechi ve'inayech mi dima. So it's not yesh toicheles lachri seich. Because toicheles would mean now you cry. And long into the future, that's when you'll stop crying. But yesh tikva lachrisich. How is it tikva? Thousands of years and it's still tikva? The Teretz says, it's right now. That's mini kailach mibachi, ki yesh tikva lachrisich. That's an unbelievable idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you need my time. You need my hasag of time. You need to collapse the whole concept of avar hoive and osit. And when you do, when you see it through that light, through that prism, you have no crying. Mini kailach mi bechi veinayach mi dima. Veshavu banim likvulam is happening. It's just in the human sense, doiris can go by, centuries can go by, millennia can go by. Abba HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not because by me a couple of thousand years is nothing. No, no, no. It's because there's no such thing as a couple of thousand of years. The ki elef shonim beinecha ki yoyim esmael has two meanings. One of them is, when you think about billions and trillions and zillions of years, so what's shayach to say elef shonim? But another pshat is that elef shonim is ki yoyim esmael literally. And that's mini kailach mibechi. I think that when Rabbi Akiva came to the base kodesh HaKadoshim and he saw the shul and the kash is enormous, you mean to tell me that they were crying because they didn't believe in the Nevuah of Zechariah? They didn't believe in the whole idea that Ayi Yeshu Zekenim was Kenais? Are we impugning their Emunah and their Bitochim? And only Rabbi Akiva had such emuna. And let us ask another question. Emuna bitochen, but there's such a thing called avelus or not? There's such a thing as karu bigdayim? They all rent their garments. So what is it exactly that differentiated Rabbi Akiva's perception and the Chachomim? And they said, by the way, nicham tonu, very interesting. They don't say, you're right. They say nicham tonu. Because apparently Rabbi Akiva gave them a certain understanding that they did not have before. And with that understanding, they could have nechama. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't cry again. To reach the madrega of laughing is not so pashut. What makes Rabbi Akiva laugh? I'll tell you the answer. I always felt that this is the absolute pshat. Rabbi Akiva saw the shoal just like them. And then he looked again at the shoal, and lo and behold, the shoal is the Kohen Gadol royalty. Yoytse mi beis kodshi hakadoshim. Now how is that possible? How is it possible to have that hologram where now you see a shul and now you see the Kohen Gadol? Because for Rabbi Akiva, his hasaga at that moment entered into the mini kailich mi bechi veinayich mi dima ki yesh tikva la'acharizich. And when he told them that this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the geula that is already now, they said, you have given us a tremendous nechama. Let's go on to the next pasuk. And the pasuk Choftes, Ma'oz la'toim derech Hashem, u'mechita l'pa'a le'ovin. This is one of those psukim that there's a good part, there's a bad part. There's Ma'oz and mechita. Ma'oz is a fortress, Ma'oz is strength, Ma'oz is kayach, but Ma'oz is also protection. And mechita. What's mechita? Mechita is a fear that is so embracing that it breaks you. So those who are tam in the Derech Hashem, it's a ma'oz for them. And a mechita l'po'ali of it. Zot de gro. Kloima. Sh'derech Hashem hu ma'oz l'oysan al choltem b'tmimus. Avo mechita hu ha'derech Hashem la'oysay she'choshvim oven b'libam. It's very interesting. The Goyin latched on to the idea that there isn't another noun in the pa'ale oven. And those, what is mechita l'pa'ale oven isn't being expressed. So it's mashma that derech Hashem goes in both directions. It is, on the one hand, a ma'oz latom, and it itself, the Derech Hashem, is a mechita l'paya le'oven. And that's exactly how the Goyim was masbir. Mo'ez latom Derech Hashem a mechita l'paya le'oven, kloimar, she'derech Hashem hu mo'ez la'oysen ha'ochem b'tmimus, avo mechita hu ha'derech Hashem, that very Derech Hashem is a mechita, is a pachad la'oysay she'choshvim oven b'libam. And then he brings the famous pasuk in Hosea, Ki yesharim darchei Hashem tzadikim yelchubam, the same darchei Hashem. And by the way, it's fascinating because here it says derech Hashem also, the way of Hashem. Ki yesharim darchei Hashem tzadikim yelchubam, hoishim yikoshim lubam. Zok de gra, what is po'ale oven? V'omar le'po'ale oven ki po'el hu benister. Kloima b'machshavtom. Ukmoshe kosu v'espoel Hashem lo yabitu v'esmaise yodov lo yroo v'ayim v'pirush el Yeshaya. Ukmoshe omru tina haya b'libam. So without looking into the pasuk and without looking at the Bir Hagra and without looking at the Gemara, we wouldn't know what we're talking about. Let's take a quick look first at the Gemara. What does he mean, tina haya b'libam? So the Gaon here, by the way, the word Tinoya Belibam, look at Rashi, and if you look in the middle, it's highlighted, it's bolded, Tinohoysa Belibam, you see it? Rishoyim Hayu Miyamehem. Tinohoysa Belibam, they were Rishoyim from day one, that's what it means, Miyamehem. You know, you have to ask, what exactly does the Gaon get from such a line? Tina Haisa Belibam. Now the Goyin is emphasizing the word Belibam Bedavka. And let me explain to you why. Because on the surface, these people appeared to be doing exactly what Tzaddikim do. They studied Torah and they disseminated Torah. And the dissemination of their Torah might have even been genuine. You know the famous expression of Reb Meir about Acher, Reb Elisha ben Abuya, Toichoy, or Elisha ben Abuya, Toichoy Ochal, Kliposoy Zorak. So the idea is that there's a Toichoy, there is a Toichoy. But Tino Haisa Belibam, the Machshava was always treif. That's a very fascinating thing. Let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ashkech Shmuel Reb Yehuda, the Toli Be'ivra de Dasha. He was tarrying on the threshold. Rashi says, Nish on Al Habariach. He was leaning on the pillar, the Kabachi, and he was crying. In other words, apparently what it's trying to say is that his crying overwhelmed him, so that he had to lean on something to support himself. That's how distressed he was. The Katoli Be'ivra Dadash of a Kabachi, Amalei Shinana, my Kabachis, why are you crying? Like, what happened? Amalei Mizutra Maidechsiv Behu Berabonon, Ayei Seifer, Ayei Shekel, Ayei Seifer Es HaMikdolim. So, you know, if you look at the Radak, for example, it's very interesting. The Pasuk is talking about the tax collector. And the tax collector, sometimes he takes taxes based on the capita, you know. If you're a member of that town, if you belong, if you're a citizen, then you have to pay a certain tax no matter how wealthy you are. But they also had like real estate type of taxes, which were measured as they are today by the kind of real estate you have, by the size and by the not just the square footage of your lot, but also the kind of binyan that you have. And if you renovate, they may raise your taxes. So they counted the migdolim, they counted the turrets, the towers, to see how much money you should pay. So the Sefer, the Shekel, and the Sefer Migdolim is talking about the tax collector, says the Radak. And of course, this is the fear that people have that, you know, they'll be wiped out by the government, by the terrible hand of the Reitzchim, who tried to squeeze you and take everything away from you. So Libcha Yegeima, by the way, this phrase, Libcha Yegeima, you know, it's familiar to many of you, I'm sure, from the Birchas Habonim on Erev Yom Kippur. V'libi Libcha Yegeima, but it's talking about Libcha Yegeima for Hashem. But here it's Libcha Yegeima, Libcha, says the Radak, Libcha she haya haiga eima terem zeh, you were already afraid. Kloima kola yoima yisa mefachad hamas, you were afraid of the taxes. Vayisa mechashe b'livcha aye seifer, where is the seifer? When is it going to come already and take away all my money? Ata yovo aleinu, koisiv hamas v'shoikel hakesef miyodeinu. The person who writes, that's why it's called a seifer, he writes down how much taxes you owe, and the other fellow counts your money, and he takes it away. And seifer hamigdolim pirusha yes seifer hamigdolim asher beir veir ki oisam abotim agvoyim o yunachshavim, they were chashuvim v'noisn in yoiser b'mas v'kol oisam v'machshava v'afachad lo yilucha oid. So this is the haftoch of Yeshayol, that you're not going to have to worry about paying your taxes anymore, and about this ruthless and tyrannical government that's going to take away everything, because that's not going to happen. The Kodesh Baruch Hu will protect you and take care of you, and this is the Pasuk in Yeshayah. What does it have to do with the Gemara in Chagiga? So in the Gemara in Chagiga, they learn Sefer and Shaiko in a different way entirely. Let's take a look. Why was he crying? Because he says, you look at this Pasuk and you shouldn't cry. You know, this pasuk is the way he learned it. It's mamish, like people walk around the whole day crying. Where are our gedolim? Where's our Reb Moshe Feinstein? Who's the next Rav Eliashiv? Aye seifer shahayu seifrim kol oisiyos shabatayra. Those who were able to count mamish oisiyos. Aye shoykel shahayu shoyklin kalin v'chamurim shabatayra. Aye seifer es hamigdolim shahayu shoynim shloish meyos halochos b'migdol aparech ba'avir. Famous Gemara and the expression Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, Rashi has two pshatim, very, very different one from the other, because he was not confident what exactly is the pshat of Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir. Let's take a look at Rashi. Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, Yesh Mefarshim Shedorshim Govo Shalamid V'dorshim Bo'i Kol Zois. The Lamid has a long neck, goes up and up, and what do you learn from that? V'yesh Armin Migdal Dor HaFloga, that Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir is the Migdal of the Dora Floga, Velinira Migdala Pasuach La Avir Garcino, not Pyreach, but Pasuach La Avir, It's just the difference between a resh and a tuf. And vehein mihilchus alois, I'm not going to go into it, but you have three pshatim in Rashi. One pshat is a halacha pshat, and that's a very complicated inyan. You know that one of the gedolim wrote a very chashuv sefer. As a matter of fact, when I was learning alois, it was a very useful sefer, very important sefer, Shmuel Erbach. And he came to discuss those in Yonam. After he finished the sefer, he learned it for many years alois. And he wrote this very chashuv sefer, and he comes to Zichrono Levracha to Rav Yashiv, and he starts talking to him about some of the difficulties that he had, and Rav Yashiv just, you know, knocked the problems down one after another. He wasn't even in the inyan at that moment. And he had a tremendous chalishas hadasa. It goes back to his father, Shlomo Zalman, Zichrono Levracha, and he says to him, he says, I don't know, I had such a chalishas hadas. I've been arving on this for such a long time, years and years, and here Rav Yashiv and Mamish in a moment's time. And he really felt very distressed. I mean, you know, you can understand that, you know. So he says, well, you know, you're comparing to Rav Yashiv, 200 years ago, he would have been great. That's what he repeated from his father. Anyhow, Alois is a complicated sugya, but to understand who can really figure out the pratim in Alois, Aye Seifers Hamigdol, who's the one that's going to be able to comprehend in such thoroughness some of these most esoteric in Yonim and Alois? That's the third pshat. The middle pshat is the Dor HaFloga, the Migdal Bovel, and the first pshat is the Lamed. It's very fascinating because if a person wanted to say a drosha and analyze each one of these three and then connect them, you'd have a real matamim. Oh, but this is not our agenda right now. So this is what he said. Where are all those great people, those genius, phenomenal Talmidei Chachamim that are able to do all of these things, and we don't find them anymore? So the Gemara says, "V'omer avami klas meyabayi bo doig v'achitoyfel b'migdal aperech ba'avir." The doig v'achitoyfel. This is how it comes to our inyan. What does it have to do with Tina Baliba, and what does it have to do with Apikarsim? So you'll soon see. So he says, you know an example of that? Doyeg v'achitoyfel, who are no good. And Afo Pikain, they were able to analyze things with such a tremendous acuity. And we don't have that capacity anymore. Utnan, shloshim alochim v'arboyad yoytis, mishnah Sanhedrin, ein lam chelik loylam abo. So then, anan matevei alon. So what's going to be with us? With all of our tzidkas and all of our yashras, but where are we in all that, in that koyach ha-toyra? Amalei, shinina. Tina Haisa Baliba. So what did he say? He says, you don't understand. They may have been able to do this, but that's not why they were not Zeicha Toilam Abba, because you're afraid that you won't be Zeicha Toilam Abba because you are nowhere near their Madrega and Taira, and even that wasn't good enough to keep them out of Gehenna. No, you don't understand. They were treif. That's why they didn't merit Olam Haba. And if, as long as a person is kosher and is beseder, he's going to be zeichet Olam Haba. You know, there was a misunderstanding here, that maybe even their level of learning was not enough to protect them. He says, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's because in the learning there was a rot. There was a cancer. Because they were Tina Belibam. And that's exactly what the Vilna Gaon is emphasizing over here. And of course, they tell the story of Acher, and we won't go into that, you have it in your notes. But I just want to go back to the Gra. The Gra says, K'mo she'kosov tino hayo v'libam, that they were payal oven. Why are they called payali oven? Ki payal hu benister, three lines from the end of this Bira Gra in Mishle Yud Choftes. The Pasuk says, it's very interesting. What does the word payal mean to you? It means a pa'ula. What is pa'ula? A maisa. He said, no. Maisa and pa'ula are two different words. Because if you want to say a maisa, you say maisa. So maisa is taka maisa yodav. But pa'ula is b'machshava. Now, would you ever have thought that the word pa'ula has to do with machshava? So he says, that's the pasuk, as payal Hashem lo yabitu, that's maisa yodav lo ro, that payal is something that you don't necessarily have the ability to discern. So we are already at 11:30, and Baruch Hashem, we have the Gra in in the Bir Hagra in Yeshayahu to do, and I'm not going to shortchange you. It's not fair not to go through that Bir Hagra. If you have time on your own, look at it. But the Gra is so magnificent because he takes two words, and we would never be able to say one idea of the Gra on our own. Not one. It would never even dawn upon the average person who hasn't been directed by the Gra to move in that direction. But the Gra says Pshat in so many different places. Is Dibrei Torah Niim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher in a very special way. So Bezes Hashem Yizbarach Oit Chazen Lamayed on the day of the Siyum HaShas, it is, right? So Bezes Hashem, you'll have Torah in the morning and Torah in the evening, Bezes Hashem. We should be Zoyche, you know, I thought it's fascinating. The night will represent the whole Shas. And in the morning, we'll learn one Bir Hagra in one Pasuk in Yeshayahu. And that's the Halakha Torah in a nutshell. Zayt gesund, tat hatzlocha, we should be Zoyche, tegul, shleima, b'meila, v'yameinu, amein.